Welcome back. Hello. It's another episode of Hold My Bread. I'm Matt Backus. I'm one of your hosts.
Yeah. And I'm Jeff Sheen.
Eric Monocle.
Here. We have a guest here.
Yeah, we have a guest.
Hi.
Emily Rose.
Thank you for doing our show.
Sure, I'm glad to be here.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I haven't. I'm so stoked because I just love podcasts. I listen to every single kind.
Well, this is a hot one. This is I don't know if you know much about this. We're three guys. We have money in the stock market. We don't know much about the stock market. We invest a lot on emotion. I bought some stock today for no reason. Just bought it. So.
What'd you buy again?
I bought GoPro stock.
You bought some GoPro. Yeah,
well, no, Matt's been feeling a little down, so you play the stock market to cheer yourself.
Exactly. I'm going through a real low point a little bit, so I'm trying to buy some stocks. So buy a couple cameras and photo myself being
there
sad.
There you go,
make
some sad selfies.
But so you're where do you work? Do you work in Wall Street?
Yeah. So considered a newer analyst, but I think something that's really interesting is not only just having a traditional interest in the markets and interest in trading and investments and getting those educational credentials, but also kind of using your street smarts. I guess that's kind of an overrated thing to say, but using your culture and your surroundings and your interactions with people to leverage when you're making investment decisions, like noticing consumer trends, stuff like that. I think anyone can do that.
What are the consumer
trends? Really, we're just opening that topic broadly.
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how it works.
Yeah, come on.
Halloween's coming up.
It's so sure.
I feel like if she answers this, that completely negates the part about street smarts.
Right. No. I think there's no secret. I think, in my opinion, there's a really big shift going on. It's not just about, I need X, Y, and Z products, and I'm going to X, Y, and Z providers to obtain them in a traditional way. Now,
you're talking brick and mortars?
Right. People care more than ever about social responsibility. So they're going to choose companies and organizations that mirror a lot of their personal passions and tendencies.
Like a cookie company that's like, and we donate 10% to help crops in other parts of the world.
See, sure.
Let's go with that.
Means not at all. That's what that sure meant. Not at all.
Isn't that like what?
A cookie company investing in stocks? In crops? Is that what you said?
No, isn't like every company now just being like, we're also like helping put shoes on the feet of children in Africa?
Yeah, that dives into a whole nother thing about.
Shout out to Tom's of Maine.
Buy stock
dives into
Tom's.
A whole nother thing about like profits versus actuality, like how much the philanthropic is actually being executed is not as much as it usually.
So people are putting out the thing that they're like, we're a socially conscious company, and people are like, well, we want to support that socially conscious company, but they're not necessarily being what they're saying they're being.
Yeah. Whoa. So let me give you an example. One good thing that came up a couple months ago was Gotham Greens. So this was a homegrown DIY, let me grow some organic kale and other greens. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
And just like get it done Brooklyn style.
Yeah, real hip Brooklyn shit.
Love it.
And they were just bought out. I was telling Jeff this earlier. They were just bought out by Whole Foods.
Wow.
So now every Whole Foods, regardless of what season it's in, they have a nursery on top of the Whole Foods that houses Gotham Greens. And Gotham Greens has a fair stake in how that business is going to be executed, and how it'll ultimately benefit the profits of Whole Foods. So for instance there, this company, Gotham Greens, got their client base, if you will, like got their market, their consumers, to really feed into this DIY, wholesome, organic, food trendy,
right.
And they were like lying
boutique-esque
to everybody.
Food source that everyone's eating up right now in Brooklyn. He saw a market and he went in for it.
It's not that at all, though.
I guess if you want to look, look at it that way.
I'm just asking.
You look at it from Whole Foods' perspective, Whole Foods would say, "Wow, we're seeing Gotham Greens really excel as far as reaching a client base and really profiting from it. And also making it more accessible, just generally, making that process of obtaining natural organic vegetables that are very seasonal at times, Making that easier was something that Whole Foods was like, yeah, that's going to be beneficial for us. So they're jumping on, a lot of these big corporations are jumping on this social responsibility. Let me get into this values-based investing.
So how can we, as a podcast, benefit from these social, how can we make that quiche? I want to make some quiche socially justice-wise.
Well, if we want to be socially responsible, first we got to get rid of Jeff. I think that's like the
what
first
thing. What are you talking
thing.
About?
Yeah, that's true.
Keeping me here is
there's no way
everybody.
We could be socially conscious about anything and no, have you on board.
He allows me to shift the blame. I get to shift away from me on him.
Just to fill you in, our first episode was basically Jeff talking about how he thought it would be a good idea to invest in products that people are going to need because they were devastated by hurricanes.
Wood.
So he thought, all the things that people are going to be desperately needing, it would be a smart reason to jump in on that.
These wildfires in California?
That's solid, right?
They got to rebuild.
I mean, okay. First of all,
I'm a shark.
I'll circle back to commenting on that specific scenario, but generally, I think you're on kind of the right track there. I think a lot of what we don't utilize is kind of like the imagination aspect and like the cognitive thinking that goes behind the numbers and the crunching and the stock market and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like
go ahead. I didn't interrupt you.
No, sure. I mean, you can read every single news source. You can know every single stock price. You can know every single in and out of M&A and corporation growth.
M&A?
Mergers and acquisitions. You can know basically just, you can be hot shit and know everything about everything. But at the end of the day, if you don't have an overall investment strategy or are thinking in a trend-like way.
Right.
There's no way that you're all that knowledge is going to be wasted.
That's the kind of street smart thing. That's the kind of street smart thing, it seems like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Tuned into what's going on. Like, that's what we were. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, again, this is just my opinion, but to give you some, we can like pause real quick and talk some banking knowledge, some banking 101.
Love it.
Okay, well, first, what is a bank?
Yeah.
What is a financial institution?
It's a mattress where I keep my money.
Yeah.
I have a hat where I keep my money.
Yeah, so if you'd like me to answer that question, basically Jeff and I went down and had a drink last week and I broke all of this down.
It was a power
lunch. Yeah.
What?
He's like, yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I feel like we're on a power lunch right now.
Yeah, they all do like power lunches, I think.
And then I ordered a scotch and he ordered a Pinot Grigio.
Oh, yeah. That's the least surprising
and
thing.
And I was like, okay, well, you know. And I had to explain to everyone at the bar, this is not for me. This is for my dear friend. But anyway, beside your drink point.
At a Pinot. That's tip number
one. He's like, I like to drink wine in the day.
Yeah, white in the day, red at night.
Oh, boy.
What a rule to live by.
That's right. I'm a wolf.
All right. So what do you think is the biggest misconception? I love that. That's great. What's the biggest misconception about this stuff? Because I've... We skulk around Wall Street at night, you know?
Here during the day.
Yeah, when all the suits are gone, that's when we come out.
So,
like rats.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here to pick up the scraps.
Wall Street rats.
Exactly. We're the rats of Wall Street.
That's your new podcast.
Wolves of Wall Street go home. The rats come out. All right?
Rats.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, banking. Let's just, you know, we're going to chop this down into little pieces. So let's start with this. Since it worked so well and stuck with Jeff. So
I feel like I'm being scolded. No, go ahead.
Sorry, I talk a lot with my hands, too.
No, it's fine.
No, it's a Wall Street thing.
Yeah, I get it. You got to be, it's a power
thing. Yeah, they all
thing.
Do this.
All scotch and talking with your hands.
Yeah, yeah, count money.
Pointing.
A lot of power stances.
No, sorry, I didn't stand up when you walked in. I know the score.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I see you. Basically how you can kind of envision banking, and normally when you look at a corporation's internal structure, you're going to say, okay, you have your finance department, you have HR, you have like the engineers, all of these different parts that are going to come in and overall like make the product. So Toyota is going to make cars. Everything on that model is for that purpose.
Right.
With financial institutions, it's a little different because you have this element of really complex banking and market international interaction that's like unlike anywhere else. And it's regulated a completely different kind of way. And you're dealing with money. And money is such a broad thing to be dealing with. Mm-hmm. So naturally, the internal mechanics of that is going to look a little different. So Like I said, you have all these different divisions, these lines of business, whether it's HR, whether it's finance, mm-hmm. or what have you. But then you break into like the finance world and the parts of banking. So you have the consumer bank, you have the commercial bank. That's like consumer and commercial, like daily money handling. Institutional clients, meaning like large companies that need their money handled.
Right.
Still.
Big ballers.
Right.
Like
so
old money.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then you also go into the investment bank. That goes into many different kinds of branches. That's global markets.
That's where the real money's at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Investment banking. That's where
I
want to be.
That's where I want to be.
Yeah. Put and this then, old Joe in an investment bank.
I just bought $70 of GoPro stock. I'm ready to bump it up.
Awesome. $70. Heard of it?
Have you ever seen money? Have you ever seen that much money before? You ever just lay $70 out? Oh, it's fucking beautiful.
Anyway, so yeah, you have all of these different lines of business specific to banking. But how you can really boil it down is you have your front office. That's the money-making part of the bank. That's the client-facing in a typical sense. So people that, the investment banking, those mergers and acquisitions of different companies. That's companies buying and selling each other.
Yeah, right.
Or private wealth management for ultra high net worth clients and high net worth clients. Different asset management. All these investment parts. So you have this front office, and then you have the middle office. So if you think of a typical trading floor, so like sales and trading, that's one of these lines of business in the frontline unit. So let's say sales and trading. Back in the day, you need a lot of processing to go on between your trades. Mm-hmm. So you had this middle office as support, right? So they're the ones that are processing the trades that you're making on behalf of your clients. So this middle office still exists. They still process those trades. They deal a lot now with the regulatory concerns. So there's this thing called customer due diligence, KYC. That's like know your client. So there's all of these rules about how much information you should know about the person you are doing business on behalf of. Because then you can also get into things, which is my division, a lot of anti-money laundering, global financial crime situations where you could have a client, like let's say the correspondent bankings, or correspondent banks, excuse me. They are banks doing business on behalf of other banks.
Banks working for banks.
Yeah.
That seems like it should be a crime.
So, but if you know all the details about the one you're doing business with, but you don't know about the ones they're doing business with, that still affects your risk. So that's kind of what the middle office does.
All right. I do have one question. I got hung up on the stock exchange, the market, the floor. Can I go to the floor right now? Not right now, but can I go to this floor? Can I go there?
What do you mean, can you go
there? Can I go there and buy stock?
I think you need like a badge or something.
Yeah, so, how do you get onto the floor?
You can't just go onto the floor and buy. So you...
A bunch of like nerds with computers.
Waving their arms up.
Going bye, bye, bye.
Honestly, yeah. So this is an interesting piece because there's been a lot of talk about this. And one thing I can speak to a little bit more later is this whole AI concept. Artificial intelligence.
I'm a big investor in the future. I got Tesla stock.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
Oh.
Smart, right?
Tesla news today. We'll get back to that one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're talking my language.
Yeah, they're making like three cars a day. That's right. They're behind, my friend.
I know. Well, it's a slow grow.
They're dropping?
So Tesla is basically making these unrealistic goals for themselves as far as the reporting. So you spoke earlier about quarterly reportings and everything like that. So Tesla set these goals for themselves and they said, okay, we're meeting X, Y, and Z thresholds. Basically, the way that they are producing cars, their model, and I think a part of this also ties in the social responsibility aspect, is they're like, okay, we're making quality cars and we are retaining employment and we're keeping a stimulus in a different kind of way. It's almost, I don't want to say it's not capitalistic, but it's different from cheap products are going to give you more money at the end of the day.
Right.
So I don't think that's really their main focus. I think they're really trying to drive this social responsibility blended with just a different kind of old time model, right?
I think so. And also, Elon Musk has said himself that the Tesla stock is overpriced, which I always thought was very interesting because it's like not cheap.
Yeah, you know, Elon Musk is always saying a lot of things.
It's true.
Matt has a poster of Elon
it's
Musk
true.
Above his bed.
I almost bought an Elon
him.
Musk book.
Really?
He loves him.
Yeah, I'm a big
really?
Fan.
I mean, we all have our fans.
You know, I almost bought a boring hat. He's got a boring hat.
Really?
Yeah, for the boring thing.
You know, I have a picture of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on my bedside, and it's her and I. It's not weird. You know, because it's like her and I, and I was like an intern from her.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I think if you have to preface with it, it's not weird. It's,
it's not
weird.
Me. like my friends have seen the picture, and it's not by my bed. It's in my room,
it's
and they're just, like, "What is that? Who is that person?" Anyway, we all have our heroes.
It's just the first thing I see when I open my eyes. That's it.
I mean, it's
first
not
thing,
a big deal.
Last thing.
It's totally manageable.
No.
Anyway, what were you talking about? Tesla.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so basically they really, really did not meet their mark. And with any kind of other corporation, the thresholds they're setting and like the margin between their performance and the threshold that they set originally for themselves is so great that a lot of people are, in a normal corporate setting, would feel very irked about that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of selling would be on behalf of that company. But again, I think because people are believing and see Tesla in a different way and as like this trend setting, like going to bring us into like a
the
new
future.
Kind of light.
Yeah.
I think they're really relying on the reputation there.
I agree. I think that's why they're, again, you obviously know way more about this than I do, but I feel like that's why their stock is so overpriced is because it's like.
So it's going to drop, though.
There's so much potential. I don't know if it's going to drop. It dropped a couple weeks ago. I remember I lost like a bunch of money. I mean, I got it back, but it was down really far at
it's
one
gonna
point.
It's going to take a dip.
What is a bunch of money?
To me or to our guests?
I feel like you're being disingenuous when you say I lost a bunch of money.
It was down a bunch.
30
is,
bucks?
Look, a bunch is relative.
70. Have you heard of
exactly,
that number?
$70. It really was 70. It was like $73.
You lost 73 bucks?
It came back, though, but there was a point. I sent you a
you didn't
screenshot
eat that week,
of it.
Did you?
Well, I didn't eat comfortably, you know? I got a small that week.
No,
you know?
No Pinot Grigios.
I mean,
I got
mean,
Pinot Grigio money.
At the end of the day, Tesla has said that their model generates about like 3 cars in a day, whereas
what's Ford
other competitors can make 3 cars in 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the margin of scale we're looking at here. So that's just some food for thought when you think about, you know, and this is kind of the thought process there. That's like the duality. It's like, you know, the social responsibility and a lot of the like drivers of Tesla from a social perspective and from a consumer perspective. You know, and also they have a very strong product. Their cars are very nice looking. Mm-hmm. They're very sleek.
Yeah, I see them everywhere.
They're cool. I don't personally have a car here in New York City, but it's like, whatever.
I see a Tesla week. I'm on the lookout, all right?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is part of it the demand for it? Or do they have less production because there's a smaller demand?
Elon Musk says that there is a, I forget the exact number, and I guess if we do this again, I'll come with more solid numbers.
Oh, we love numbers.
But,
we're actually against anyone having any facts.
Yeah.
Favorite numbers?
That's cool.
70.
I can speak eye level. But basically, he's saying that like there's a line out to the door for these cars.
A lot of pre-orders.
A lot of reservations on that product. And for models that haven't even come out yet. So.
And I'm the matte black Tesla, that's my dream, is to have a matte black.
I love matte cars.
Yeah, matte black Tesla. I've looked at them online. I built it. It's like $160,000 car. It's pretty sick.
You built it online?
Yeah, you just fucking around on the website.
There you go. You got to visualize before you get something.
Yeah.
The secret.
Dream it, be
so,
it.
So I just thought of something. So in the way, so we're talking about, right, so we talked about social responsibility. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Tesla right now and how social responsibility doesn't necessarily mean performance.
Right.
And kind of their questionable future moving forward. The third part about this that I think is really interesting that I was reading about today is 3D printing. So a really, we're getting into the fintech world, we're getting into that grit, and the three main drivers that we really need to look at in technology right now is one being automation, two being 3D printing, and the third being artificial intelligence.
Oh, I thought you were going to say VR for some reason.
No. So those are the three, really, and that could kind of like also be included. But basically, this whole concept of 3D printing, one thing that I really want to read up more about is understanding how long it takes to not just make a bowl and a spoon from a 3D printer or, you know, any tangible whatever object.
Right.
It's making complex parts to high-tech systems. So, for example, I have a friend Chris, who owns a bar called Father Knows Best in Brooklyn.
Ooh, shout out to Chris.
Shout out to
Chris. Yeah, you guys know Chris?
They do comedy shows
at Father Knows.
Mm-hmm.
Father
Holler
knows
at
best.
Him, get on my hustle at Get On My Hustle on Instagram.
No plugs, please.
Anyway, no, it's like not even me.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so he's a good homie of mine. He's an incredible entrepreneur. And
was
I know
three,
what
3D Britain over there.
So one thing he did was include, you know, those like subway tells you what time the subway comes.
Yeah,
you keep it like in a restaurant or at a bar.
Right. Yeah.
Same how you would see it in the subway.
Right.
But
those
it's just
cool.
there. I forget the exact name of it, but
it might just be like New York City Transit sign.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy that developed that concept was working with Chris about using these 3D printers to make those.
Okay.
So that's an electronically, like, that's an electronic product. So
right.
to me, I'm like, holy shit, that means a lot of like pieces and parts go into this.
Small pieces and...
And how the hell does that wire together to like make a functioning thing?
Right.
So to me, that was really wild.
It's like in Westworld when they 3D print people.
Yeah. And I mean, a big thing by the Wall Street Journal today was...
You look at me like that? That was a fair thing.
Not only will we talk about Westworld during the podcast.
No. Wait till what I'm about to say, because then you're going to be eating your words.
Yeah,
but
right.
Westworld's real.
It's. Yeah. I mean, there. I
it's
was,
a documentary.
The Wall Street Journal today said, in fact, a big thing that they potentially could be doing in the future is printing human organs.
So wait, you can 3D print, it's just like a numbers, the thing that tells you when the subway's coming.
Yeah.
Those
How
things
did
are
they
so
make
cool.
them before?
I have no idea. I asked Chris that and he was like, I don't know.
To me, that seems like one of those things that's like a $1 million idea. Every bar in the city should have one of those.
That's a good idea.
Right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, the thing is the thought process behind that, this guy, what he would do is program all of the advertising that goes on top of cabs, you mm-hmm. know, and like a million other different like streams of media source. And so this guy just like is an incredible coder, an incredible computer programmer, and just figured this out on his own, figured how to rig and hack into the MTA system.
Wow.
Match their schedule.
That's cool as hell. I always wondered how they do, like, because they're like pretty accurate.
Yeah, I don't know if
like.
I should have said that, but that was something that Chris had explained this to me in passing, basically. But like, long story short, this guy's hella smart.
Yeah.
And that sort of train of thought and that technical ability, being able to tell a computer what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is an example of using all three of those things, all three of the things that I mentioned earlier, telling the computer what to do based on your intellect as a human being. So one, that's the programming automation aspect. Then printing it, that is the 3D printing
right.
aspect. And then the third thing being the AI concept. So eventually that system should be able to automatically update. Just based on the rules of the road
right.
and the system's ability to learn those rules.
Yeah.
Learn by mistake.
Learn a routine.
So, I mean, this is like kind of far-fetched, but if I was to say anything would be scary about AI really going in the direction it's going in, it's that.
Terminators.
It is like the cognitive
the
piece.
The self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cognitive piece to learn from your mistakes or learn from patterns. Of activity, and then come up with something.
Did you see the new Blade Runner?
I didn't, but my roommate went to go see
just
it.
Curious.
Is that all? That's all about AI.
They talk about a lot about
I'd like
AI.
To see, like,
and
an AI
so
like,
many movies.
Dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
scares me.
Artificial intelligence is dumb.
It's just a dumb guy. Hey, I'm a computer.
There's the comedian.
Just,
there he
I'm
is.
A computer. I'm
nice
aware.
Of him to, nice of him to show up.
Who's got a beer for this computer?
You're the first we're going to replace with artificial intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till we 3D print a fucking other host.
Well, no, so it's really actually interesting. So, you know, this is something that we discuss a lot in the banking industry is like, where is this going? Because this is going to drive ultimately not what we do, but how we do it. And if there will even be a need for us to exist there
right,
at all.
Because eventually computers will be able to predict the trends that people are predicting.
And yeah, and that's across the board. That's not just for banking. That's every single industry.
Not comedy. We're artists.
That's true.
No, they've already started with artificial intelligence in
I feel
in
like
comedy.
That's definitely Ooh. Could be an easily replaceable thing.
No way. My experience is my own.
Exactly. I write from the heart. Machines don't have hearts.
Yeah, you can't figure out my brand.
Exactly. Like, okay, but think about it. If you put like an algorithm in there to like best identify like the maximum amount of laughs you're going to get in a crowd.
Yeah, but no machine can see my observations.
Exactly. My laughs aren't quantitative by numbers.
That's a good idea.
I'm always like, aren't buses weird?
Yeah. You know? It's the way you say it. You know, it's your delivery.
Right.
Yeah, we'll always have jobs. You'll be out of a job.
Yeah.
I don't think the technology's moving that quickly.
Yeah, the bankers will be coming to us
for
$70.
So we were talking about it, and so there's four pillars of AI that we can discuss. So one of them is that automation piece, that's process automation. So that's basically like, here are the rules, here's the lay of the land, now you do what I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. This system, this computer, this model that you developed, this electronic model that you developed.
Right.
So that's the first piece. That, in turn, gets rid of a lot of the repetitive processes and the daily manual checking and routines that takes up a lot of our day. The second piece is the pattern checking. So you'd be able to say, oh, hey, I've noticed, let's say for for your debit card, your debit card can say, oh, I've noticed that you spend a lot of money at restaurants. Do you want us to send you alerts when you've hit a certain threshold or blah, blah, blah? So they're noticing the trends that you are making in your account. So that is that piece. And obviously, that's a pretty one-for-one solving situation. So the third part is the communication piece. So that's like tellers being automated online. That piece is a little tricky because people get very disgruntled about it because people want to talk to real people.
I like a real voice.
Yeah.
I got to have somebody yell at, you know?
Yeah, I don't like a robot.
But, you know, like for meetings, for example, I go through a lot of meetings every day and it's high level. I have to understand a lot of intense processes. If there was a way that, like, someone could be asking the questions that I needed to be asking and I could just focus on writing and, like, doing other things, that might be a good communicative tool for me. Anyway, so the fourth piece there is, like I said, that cognitive ability. So in a perfect world, it's going to be a lot of cognitive stuff going on for your employers. A lot of focus there. Sprinkled in with some of the first. A lot of the second and third, and then just a little bit of the first. That monotony, that manual process, whatever. That's ideal. Unfortunately...
Ideal? I don't know if like I'm tracking me like that.
Yeah, exactly. So... in practice, a lot of it is a lot of the first, some of the second and third, and then sprinkled in with cognitive, the last piece. And that's really where we go wrong, is we're not thinking enough about, hey, there's a problem here. And instead of just putting a Band-Aid on it, let's fix it inherently and start from scratch and make our process easier going forward. People are acting in these like redundant ways where people are just like cranking things out mindlessly, whereas they're not thinking of a solution long term. And like the biggest thing I learned, one of the biggest pieces of advice I got, career advice, was from this guy on Capitol Hill. He was like a low level employee when I was interning.
So he's not a fat cat.
Not a fat cat?
No,
not
a fat none cat of these kids are fat cats, let me tell you.
All right.
No, right. Everyone's intern? Just trying to... Yeah, I was not paid as an intern. I was a Capitol Hill intern, and I was just, like, there for the ride. Anyway, so this guy tells me he was, like, very serious and had a lot of command, and I respected him a lot, and he was like, make your life easier long-term. You will be more successful. You will have more time to devote to thinking about things and, like, thinking about how you can be better.
Yes.
And I was like, damn, that's really true. So that's been kind of my vibe ever since. And I think that's good.
Do you have anything you want to close? We got any like last advice you want to give us before we wrap it up?
About what? Investing
about,
or what?
You know, anything. You've met us, you've talked to us, you've seen. Yeah, anything.
How do we all get $70?
Okay. How do we all get $70?
I can do $70, I'll tell you that.
So I would say we talked about a couple things. We talked about kind of the internal structure. We got the front office, the middle office, back office concept.
That's what it was. It wasn't line. It was office.
Office, yeah.
I kept thinking it was
and
line.
And then you have, you know, we talked about Tesla. We talked about all of these different technology innovations. So that was just natural conversation. We had planned none of that out.
That's true.
So
we're very good.
Don't be afraid to pull from some knowledge, like I said, that street knowledge that you might just have some insight on. Like that Gotham Greens thing, I think somebody told me about, like I had heard about it at a bar, and then somebody was, I was looking at it at the news. So
that's
it's
what
like,
I love to hear. I love to hear that.
Yeah, you find things.
That's how I, honestly, that's genuinely how I've invested in some of the stuff I've invested in. It's just because I've heard it from people. I've done a little bit of research and been like, okay, that's kind of true what they said. And then you just kind of
go with it.
I love that.
I think, yeah, I think right now the biggest thing that I'm really trying to do is in the banking industry, a lot of people are so obsessed with the credential, looking for all of the 10 years experience, incredible schooling, all these connections, yada, yada. And I'm saying that doesn't have to be the only benefit. You know, people can gain knowledge and insight in so many different ways. And I think our cultural shift is really going towards, we don't just need education. We need this element of street smart. So don't undersell it. When you hear all this complicated jargon and like bullshit about the markets or whatever else, don't get intimidated. Sit down. Look for areas of opportunity. Like if you're seeing, oh, I really wish there was like this beer brand that has this kind of concept. Why don't they have that? That train of thought stimulates, oh, let me do some research about that. That's all that you need.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a perfect place to end the podcast.
Follow your theories.
Cool.
That's perfect. That was really great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah,
you guys have anything?
I got nothing. I mean, Halloween candy, you know, invest.
That's what you want to leave
Halloween
with?
Halloween candy?
That's
yeah.
It's going to skyrocket,
look,
I think.
You had a beautiful thing. It was beautiful. And then you have Halloween candy.
Buy Mars bars. I'm telling you.
Just Mars bars exclusive.
I mean, they both make valid points. I think we can.
That's my street smarts. Kids eat candy on Halloween.
Well, would you like to plug anything? You want to promote anything?
No, I think just everyone keep doing what you're doing. I think everyone just needs to like stop being so afraid of being an adult. Define it your own way. And keep your eyes and ears open and get woke, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Hold My Bread. Email us at holdmybread.com if you have any insider tips or if you want to, you know, just teach us some more things.
Have we gotten any?
No, we haven't gotten any emails. No emails yet. As of now, no emails, but please feel free to email us.
Follow me at The Gray Area.
There you go.
The gray area_ERG.
And check out Father Knows Best for good comedy, good beer.
Yeah.
And it's near my apartment, so if you want to come find me.
I'm Jeff Sheen.
Fucking find me. Goodbye.
Great.
Bye.